rich man told Abraham, send somebody to them. They might hear the gospel. They might learn of Christ. Let them see a miracle. Abraham said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead right in front of them. Will you hear him? Will I hear the word of the Lord? Or will I keep talking about what I think? We got two ears and one mouth. Well, if we could use them. Our text tonight is going to be in Mark chapter 12, but let's turn to John chapter 10 first. John chapter 10. Our text this evening, to me, it's a frightening text. It's piercing. It's like a javelin hit me in the chest as I read it. And as Paul wrote to that church at Galatia, he said, I'm afraid for you. There's some professing believers in this world that I'm afraid for. I'm afraid for myself. Do I hear the Lord? This morning we looked there at that bit of instruction to the children of God. Old folks need to hear that too. That's not just for the young folks. Old folks need to hear that too. That's a sin of the heart. It's not a sin of walking up down these streets. That's something that happens on the inside. And tonight, old believers need to hear this too. I've heard this for 20-some years. I need to hear it again tonight. Scriptures tell us to make your calling and election sure. Hope I can look inward. Here in John chapter 10, we begin in verse 7. The Lord gave a parable. Let me get there. He gave a parable of these sheep coming in and out of the holding pen. And he said, if any man go in any other way than that door, he's a thief and a robber. And they didn't understand that. And he said, those sheep, they won't follow the voice of a stranger. Won't have anything to do with it. And they didn't understand. And so he explains it to them. There in verse 7. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. He'll be comforted in and he'll be comforted without. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. These sheep come at a great cost. They were bought with a price. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep, fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. The Lord told us, he said, I careth for you. You are my friends, I care for you. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I know them and they know some doctrine. They know some scripture. He said, they know me. I am known of mine. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There's a necessity for him to lay down his life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Is there any question as to who the door to eternal life is? The Master just said it. God Almighty just told us. He is the way. He is the truth. And in Him is the only life there is. He is the life. I hope we can see more about this door. More about entering into it. But if you will, turn back to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. I want to go through a good portion of this chapter before we get to our text so we can have the stage set leading up to this scribe. The scribe is here all day. We need to see what he saw. Here in Mark 12, we get the parable of the husbandman and the vineyard. This Lord had bought a vineyard. He'd bought some land. And he sent his servants to those that ran it. Over and over again. Verse 5 says, and many others were sent there. And the response got worse and worse. First off, they wounded some. And then they badly wounded some. And then they started killing those that he sent to his vineyard. Then when the landowner, he sends his only precious son, his heir, they killed him as well and cast him out of the vineyard. Then the Lord of the vineyard came. And he cast them all out together. He cleared the place out. Those people that our Master just told this parable to, they understood what he was getting at. God Almighty sent his prophets. He sent Moses and the prophets. People wouldn't hear him. He sent his prophets again. They killed them. They stoned them. Mean to them. Someone stood in front of a group of people and said, here's how you have everlasting life. It's in Christ Almighty. Get away from us. Run. Paul said, are you mad at me because I tell you the truth? What a shame. Lord sent prophets, preachers, sent John the Baptist to him. Now his son standing before him. And what's their response? Here in verse 10. Master says, and have they not read the scripture? The stone which the builder rejected is become the head cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him. They were going to kill him, but feared the people. For they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him, and they went their way. That was their response. They wanted to kill him, and they couldn't. And so they just took off. They get mad and go home. They marveled at him. Now comes the Pharisees and the Herodians. They're trying to catch our Lord in his words. And they're bragging on him. Calling him master. Calling him master. Now verse 13. And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man. For thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? You're no respecter of persons. Oh, you teach the truth. Oh, you're a master. And so they ask him a question. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? Should we pay federal taxes? That's what they're asking. If Christ says yes, pay your taxes, they can say, well, he supports a pagan ruler. Oh, that's a waste of money. We could be giving that to the poor and the needy. He didn't care about the poor and the needy. They accused him of all kinds of things. He's a wine bibber and a glutton. If he says no, don't pay your taxes, he's broke the law. Antinomian. He doesn't care. Look at him. He disregards law. That's a catch 22. Gotcha. If that was me, they got me, don't they? What do I say? Oh, here's Christ's response at the end of verse 15. But he, our Lord, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it. And he said unto them, Whose image and superscription? Who's on this coin? And they said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And they marveled at him. They marveled at him. But they left. They said, Oh, what a crafty man. He won the battle, but we're going to win the war. No, that's not the case. That's all they saw was a man standing before him. Well, thank you, Christ. This is just one of the prophets. Some man standing here. Then the Sadducees came in. They didn't believe in the resurrection, so they thought they'd catch him in his words with concerning the resurrection. Getting caught up going on a story. And he might answer something they can catch him in. They ask about this woman with the seven husbands. The brothers kept marrying her. Husband kept some hypothetical. That's what the religious like to fight over. Let's talk about hypothetical. Let's look at what the word of the Lord says. How about that? These seven husbands. Which one's going to be her husband in glory? And oh, the response to these Sadducees. Oh, the dealing of our Lord had with him. Here in verse 24. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Which way are you in error? Don't you know what the word of the Lord says, or don't you know the Lord? His power, who He is. It's one or the other or both. What piercing. It says, for when, verse 25, For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. He's the God of the living. Who's that living? Those He has given life to. Oh, He has come to and put His incorruptible seed in. Abraham at that time, and Abraham right now is living. Isaac is living. Jacob is living. They're living in Christ. Just as they were alive in Him as they walked this earth, they're alive in Him in glory right now. He's the way. That's the truth. He's the life. They're living in Him. Now verse 28 through 31. This scribe's been around all day. This is the scene that he saw. These are the things he's witnessed. Those people left again. Upset. He's hung around. He's going to ask a question. Verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, he'd listened, and perceiving that Christ had answered them well. He had some perception. He asked the Lord, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. That's the first table of the law. Covered to the Lord. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. The Lord gives 4 points here. Hear, O Israel, what a commandment, and how thankful we are that the Lord commands His people to hear Him. His spiritual Israel. Hear. Hear Moses and the prophets. Hear my preachers I send to you in that vineyard. Listen to them. Pay attention. Listen diligently. Hear, O Israel. And he said, there is one Lord. That triune God, the Father, the Holy Ghost, and the one standing right in front of them are one. they are one. Love Him with everything in you. Not on Wednesdays and twice on Sundays. Love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everything in you. Love that Lord. Love Him. And love your neighbor. Is that the person next to me on the pew? That's good churchgoers. My brothers and sisters, love them, yeah. What about the person that lives next door to me? Who's my neighbor? Love them too. What about that one that curses you? Goes out and stabs your tires and spits at you and plots on you. Love them with everything in you. Why would we do that? What would be our motivation for that? Because the Israel that He commands to hear, God Almighty loved them in Christ when we were at enmity with Him. We were at war with God. He loved us. What an example. Servant's not above his master, is he? We're commanded to love. Now I ask you, do we hear as we should? We listen all the time. As our mouth shut up in sin, our iniquity closes our mouths and we listen to the Word of God. Or do we talk about what we think in it? Do we have any idols other than the one true and living God? Anything. Our children. My home. My job. My football. My fishing. Whatever it is. My husband. My wife. Is that my idol? Or do I have one God that I seek His voice, that I hear? Do we love Him with everything in us all day, every day? Do we love our neighbors? Here's the scribe's response. Verse 32. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? There's one God. Love Him. Love your neighbor. Oh, and that's better than all the sacrifices and burnt offerings. Verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, that doesn't mean he whispered to him, got over on the corner and said, Hey, I agree with you. That means he answered earnestly with conviction. And the Lord discerned that in him. He was serious. There was a zeal there. This wasn't just words coming out of his mouth. He meant it. When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Did he say you're in the kingdom of God? You're not far from the kingdom of God. Close. Swing and a miss. We used to say close on the counts and horseshoes and hand grenades, don't it? You're not in. You're not in that fold of the sheep. Boy, you're close to it. You're near. What's this kingdom of God that he's speaking of? That's the kingdom of grace. Kingdom of Christ. His kingdom and his people that are on this earth and those that are already called home to glory. The body of Christ that he bought with his blood, with a price. And he's preserved forever. What a place to be. Made one with Christ. A fellow heir. The Lord looked at this man and said, You're near. You're close. I want to look at a few things about this scribe. I want to see who this man was. What is it that he knew? What was his attitude? And where did he go wrong? Where did he fail? So who was this man? He was a scribe. You know what that is? His daily occupation was to spend all day long in the Word of God. That's his job. He transcribed the Word of God. They'd get down with that paper and a pen and he'd copy it over. You think he memorized some verses? He translated them, some of them translated them into other languages. Well, that takes even longer. You've got to make sure you get it right. There's some responsibility there. That's earnest. That's studying. What was the context of that? Where's the paragraph go? You think he had a favorite verse? All right, there's just a lot nicer to write than others. That was his occupation. That was his full-time job. Living in the holy word of God. There was a lot of respect that went with that. He was honored in the community. He had some authority in the community. But this is a good thing, isn't it? I'm not discounting being in the word of God. This is a good thing. Scriptures tell us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Paul told Timothy, from a child you have known the Scriptures, and they can make you wise unto salvation. Oh, what a blessing. Was this man made wise unto salvation? Did he have faith that came by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? Turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Is that all we need? We just need the Scriptures. We can sit down with the Scriptures. I'm just going to study them all day long. I'm going to read them 10 times a day. I'm good to go. John 5, verse 36. I have greater witness than that of John the Baptist, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye, these has never heard they're not Israel. They haven't heard the voice of the Lord. They've never seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. It's a great privilege on this earth to have the word of God in our hands. What a privilege. But to have him abiding in you, the living word of God, having Christ abide and dwell in you. For whom he hath sent, ye have not believed. All those prophets to the vineyards. His preachers standing before you saying, here's his word. Here's what God says about it. You don't believe it. Search the Scriptures, for in them, in the searching of the Scriptures. That ain't what he told Timothy. What? No, it's a different context here. He's not speaking to a child of God. He's saying, you think that sitting around searching the Scriptures all day, you think you have eternal life. But those Scriptures you're searching, they are they which testify of me, of a person. That scribe was in the Word. And boy, he was well educated. That's who he was. And he searched the Scriptures, thinking that the searching itself, the verb, the work, expenditure of energy is what saved him. But it was Christ who the Scriptures was about to save him. Now back in our text here. What did this man know? He says there is one God. He said, oh, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God and there is none other but he. Well, he knows God. He knows there's one God. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? What did James tell us in James 2:19? So thou believest there is one God? Oh, you do well. The devils also believe. And they tremble. They don't just believe there's one God. They tremble at that one God. That deranged man was in that graveyard, out of his mind, possessed with demons. And Christ came to him and he cast those demons out. And the disciples come back and that man sitting there and says, in his right mind, that's his pure mind. That's a believer's right mind. Looking to Christ, sitting right across the campfire from him. And he took those demons, when he cast them out, put them in a herd of swine. And what did they say? They said, oh Lord, is judgment come? Is that why you're here? They knew that he was God. They knew that judgment was coming, and they knew they were convicted under that judgment. They trembled, didn't they? And he cast them off the cliff. This scribe knew the idols were bad. He said, there is none other but he. There in verse 32. Idols aren't a good thing. Idols are a bad thing. He knew this. He knew loving the Lord and loving the brethren. That was the fulfillment of the law of Moses. Love is the fulfillment of the law of Moses. This is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Most churches in our day, they would make this man an elder right now. He's the third in line associate assistant pastor. Promote that man. Boy, he knows something. What knowledge! Oh, he knows something. We see who this man was, a scribe, his occupation, what he knew. I would have given him some revelation. He had some knowledge, didn't he? What was this man's attitude? He says in verse 28 that he perceived Christ answered all those contenders well. Everyone that came up against him, all his opposition that came speaking to this man, boy, he had the right answers. It was according to the Scriptures. Know what the devil tempted Christ with? Scriptures. What did our Lord reply to him? Did he yell and stuff? No, he just told him the Scriptures right back to him. He was the Scriptures. This man's attitude was that he properly approached Christ. He called him Master. But that's just what those Pharisees did too back in verse 14. And, oh, Master. Teacher. Wise one. Oh, he spoke so highly of Christ. This man was teachable. All those others, they'd get a little bit of information. The Lord would speak to them, then they'd run. This guy hung around all day. Oh, he clung on for a while. I might be able to learn something. He had a teachable spirit, didn't he? And to some degree, he had a spiritual revelation. He had some type of discernment. Problem was, he was 18 inches from salvation. Every bit of it was right here. It just trickled down to there. And he'd have some. But he had a head knowledge. Where did he fail? Where did he go wrong? This gainfully employed scribe had a whole bunch of knowledge and what seemed to be a good attitude. What happened? Why was he near the kingdom of God and not in the kingdom of God? He spoke of God, spoke well of Christ, spoke well of God's law, but he did not mention sin, did he? He never said, I've not loved the Lord as I ought. I've not loved my brethren as I ought. I haven't heard as I ought. I've had idols. I have idols still. He didn't confess his sins. Scriptures say, if we confess our sins, he is able and faithful to forgive them. Turn over to Psalm 51. David wrote here in Psalm 51, verse 3, For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. It used to be before me 45 years ago, whenever I accepted Jesus into my... No, it's ever before me. The Lord's on your mind, you know what you are. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightst be just when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This isn't something that just happened recently or just once. This is from the womb I'm sin. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Right there where you require in the inward parts, that truth, that's where you're going to give me your truth. Not up here. Right there in the heart. That's where He's going to come. Christ came to call sinners to repentance. To turn to Him. To turn us from looking to ourselves, from looking to the law, to looking to stuff and people and men and doctrines and theologians and everything else, to look to Him. To the person. Not to righteous people. That's a heart work. That's not outside of the sepulchre work, outside the cup. That's inside the sepulchre work. Then the inward parts. Now I ask you, and I ask myself, me. I struggled with this growing up. I grew up underneath the sound of the gospel. I didn't grow up and raised in false religion. And I had that from birth, I had it here. And oh, I was scared to death. Terrified. Lord, do I know you? Do I know you in my heart, or do I know you in my head? I ask you and I ask myself, Have we ever wept over our sin against the holy God that we offended? Not against man, not against grandma, not against our kids when we whipped them when we shouldn't or didn't whip them when we should have whipped them. The God we offended. Have we wept over our sin? Have we ever been estranged from the true and living God of the Bible? Not the God of our imagination. Have I just been alone with people all around me? I'm without God in this world. Lord, I need you. Speak to me. Let me hear you. Give me ears to hear. Have we believed His word? Have we heard that word? When it says, all flesh is grass. Like David said, we're shaped in iniquity. Sin was imputed to me from Adam. It was imparted to me in that womb when I was born. And I enacted on it from the time I come out crying from the womb. Lying from the womb. That's what the Lord says. Do I believe Him? Have I ever had a thirst for wisdom and knowledge? Have I had a necessity for a Savior? Or is that something convenient that comes along once or twice a week? Put on a Christmas card. Get you a calendar. Or do we need a Savior? A person. A person. This man standing before this scribe in our text. The one looking at him. The one the scribe's talking to. He delights in showing mercy. That scribe, oh, he knew the scriptures well. You know what he's quoting? Hosea 6:6. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. How many times do you think he wrote that down? He's standing in front of mercy, looking at him. In our pride, in this flesh that we're born into, this body of death, do we stay in it and do we kiss the Master on the cheek, as Judas did? Are we honoring Him with our mouth? Or do we beg Him for mercy and an incorruptible seed in us where we followed His feet like Mary and kiss His feet? Do we know He's not our equal? There's no mention of sin, and there's not a plea for mercy. If you're still there in Psalm 51, verse 1, he says, David writes, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. How much sin can the Lord watch us from? How much sin can He purge from His people? Well, it's in direct proportion to the multitudes of His tender mercies. Why aren't you thankful? That Pharisee and the publican were in the temple. And that publican cried, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That thief on the cross heard the Lord speak those seven things that we have recorded in the Scriptures. And he turned to the Redeemer that hung next to him. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's having mercy. Lord, have mercy on me when you come into your kingdom. The scribe calls Christ Master, calls Him good, calls Him wise, but he does not call Him Lord. This man came with the crowd, stayed longer than most of them, and he left with the crowd. He stuck around a little bit longer, but he went out from the Lord, and he went out from the Lord's people. He didn't follow the Lord. What's the Scriptures tell us? Our Master said, my sheep hear my voice. They hear the word of the Lord. Oh, Israel hears, don't they? They hear my voice and they follow me. If we experience mercy, you beg Him for mercy, you'll have it. If we experience mercy, not look at it, not quote it and have a theological position on mercy. If we experience mercy, you will not leave the one that gave you mercy. If He saves His people, you won't leave the one that saved you. If we're truly loved of God, we will not leave the one that loved us and gave Himself for us. We read in the Old Testament about that city of refuge. You're swinging an axe, chopping wood. Axe head comes off. Hits the man behind you. Kills him. That's manslaughter. Ain't murder, it's manslaughter. And under the law, you got to die. Unless you go to the city of refuge. Do we run to that city of refuge? We know where it is. We know what the walls look like. We know what the city looks like. Do we run to it and then not enter, begging for mercy? Do we run to the city of refuge and stand outside looking at the walls and say, boy, it's a nice city of refuge. I know all about the city of refuge. Or do we enter into the city of refuge? If we are guilty, the Holy Spirit's come to His people, convicted of sin, you enter into the city of refuge. You go into it. It says there in our text that no man that durst ask Him any more questions. Are we close to the kingdom of God? How far was this man? An arm's length? The kingdom of God standing right in front of him. The word of God's coming from God's mouth into his ears. So in the case of lordship of Christ, in case we missed that, look here in verse 35. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. He's asking, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Verse 37. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? Back in those days, you don't call your son boss. You don't call your son Lord. There's a respect for age. This is unheard of for them. This wasn't about the flesh, was it? It's about a heart work. And the common people heard him gladly. What think ye of Christ? There's a person, not a knowledge, not an attitude, not a peace of mind and a warm, fuzzy feeling. A person lived for us, died for us, and rose again for his people. And the common people heard that, and they were glad. Are you common? Or do you got a fancy job and a bunch of knowledge and a good attitude? Or are you just a sinner? That's when it comes to dealing with a person. And there in Acts 4, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. That's from Pike County, Kentucky. Unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Where did they come up? Where did Peter and John come up with all this knowledge and this understanding and this position that they had? They'd been with a person. Lord God Almighty. Do you and I, do we come to the door of Christ, and do we admire the door? Do we look at the hinges and the door handles and all that stuff? Or do we enter in? Do we throw ourselves at His feet and beg for mercy? Do we hear Him? Our Master had 4 points. Hear, O Israel, there is one God. Love Him with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. What did that scribe answer him? 3 of them. He hadn't heard. Do we hear? If you hear Him, if He convicts you of sin, that Christ is all righteousness and that all that judgment's been taken care of. He satisfied judgment forever for His people. Come to Him. Enter that city. Enter that gate and bow to His feet. What peace you'll have. And you will have entered the kingdom of God. You entered a person, not a place. That's who He is. Amen. Let's pray together.